Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Yeah, the total sum paid for the food is far too much. I shall have to speak
Captain,
to them.
Sir, the crowd is about to beat a man to death.
Who is he?
I don't know, sir. Someone they caught doing something in the temple.
Those Israelites are always angry or in an uproar about something or somebody. They probably caught that Egyptian fellow who's the chief of a band of cutthroats and murderers.
So you better hurry, sir, or they'll have killed a man before we can get there.
Well, tell the centurions to call out several platoons.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I hope it is that Egyptian. But I couldn't be that fortunate. Centurions, report.
B platoon accounted for and ready.
B platoon accounted for and ready.
G platoon accounted for and ready.
Centurions, to the place of riot on the double.
B platoon forward. Hi.
C platoon forward.
Hi.
G platoon forward.
Hi. All right, you're next. Now hit him. can do.
Here come the Roman soldiers.
Hang on to this man, men. Do not let those soldiers have him. Let the soldiers through, men.
All platoons, halt. Who's in charge here?
I guess I am, sir.
Is this the man?
Yes, sir.
Centurion, arrest him. Have him bound with two chains.
Yes, sir.
Now you. Who are you and what have you done? That's impossible to find out anything here. Centurion, take him to the Tower Prison.
No, you can't have this man. We're going to kill him.
Centurion, carry the man if you have to, but take him to the Tower. And you, get out of the way or we'll imprison you.
The tower was a fortress built on the northwest side of the temple area and named Antonia in honor of Mark Antony. In the midst of the tumult and beating he had received, Paul was calm and self-possessed. As he was about to be led into the fort,
Chief, sir, may I speak with you?
No need of that. I know you. You are that Egyptian who tried to take Jerusalem, but I defeated you. You escaped with 4,000 men, murderers, all, and cutthroats. You are speaking Greek. Now, that puzzles me.
I am not that Egyptian. My name is Paul. I'm an Israelite born in Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, a citizen of a great, important city. I beseech you, allow me to speak to the people that they may hear and know the truth.
Your permission granted.
Thank you, sir.
How long do you think it's been? You merely hold up your hand and the mob quiets down. It shows they have some respect for you.
Men, brethren, and fathers, hear my defense which I make now to you.
Well, they like your words and bearing. They're completely silent.
I am an Israelite born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up and educated here in Jerusalem. I studied law and the scripture under the greatest of all human teachers, Gamaliel. He taught me the law of our ancestors and strict obedience to that law. I was just as dedicated to God and his law as all of you here today are. Many of you, especially the members of the Sanhedrin, will remember that I persecuted and caused the death of many who believed in Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. I was so anxious to put to death those who believed in Jesus that I requested a letter of authority from the Sanhedrin to go to Damascus and arrest the believers and bring them back in chains to be tried and put to death.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
You're a sermon in shoes. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes. Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So walk it and talk it, a sermon in shoes. Do you know the world is watching all that you do? Do you know the world is watching all that you do? Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So teach it and preach it, a sermon in shoes. Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Do you know, oh Christian, you're a sermon in shoes? Jesus calls upon you to spread the gospel news. So walk it and talk it and teach it and preach it and live it and give it, a sermon.
Hi, Grandma.
Well, hi, Mariam. Did you come to visit your old grandmother?
Oh, Grandma, you're not old. You're just very mature.
Sounds like something your daddy would say. So tell me, sweet granddaughter, why did you come to sit on my porch on this lovely spring evening?
Actually, I'm here to talk to you about what it's like to be you. My teacher at school wants us to find some interesting characters in our town and ask them about life.
Well, I'm flattered to be considered interesting.
Okay, question one. What was your greatest achievement in life?
That's easy. My son, your daddy, he grew up to be a fine man.
Dad, he's your greatest achievement?
Yep, and fruit salad. People really like my fruit salad.
Fruit salad. Okay. Question two. If you could live your life again, what would you do different?
That's a tough one. Probably some would say, I don't want to make the same mistakes. But it's our mistakes that teach us the most. So I wouldn't change that. And I'd spend more time praising and less time complaining.
What do you mean?
I'd spend more time thanking God for my blessings and less time complaining to him about my problems. Most of our problems are the result of our making bad choices. So why complain to God because we messed up?
Thanks, Grandma. You know what? You are an interesting person.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
On the second day, God said, "Let there be a great space." So the space was formed, deep and high. God called the space sky. God
God made rivers and seas on the third day. He formed the mountains and deserts, the islands and beaches. He planted tall trees, swaying grasses, and flowers of every color. When the fourth day came, God put lights in the sky, the fiery sun for daytime, the sparkling moon and dancing stars for night. On the fifth day, God filled the water with fishes of all shapes and sizes. He made the birds to glide across the sky. God made animals on the sixth day, furry animals, scaly animals, smooth, sleek animals. And on that day, God made man. When he was finished, God saw that everything he made was very good. And on the seventh day, he rested.
You people who don't know Jesus love.
Girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 8, Meeting Henry. It was a scary ride, Jenny called up the elevator shaft, but I'm okay. Just a few seconds after those words were spoken, the light shining down the elevator shaft disappeared, leaving Jenny alone in the dark. I should have told Dee Dee how scared I am, Jenny thought as she shivered. But that's silly, she reminded herself. What good would that do? She's all the way in the attic. She can't do anything to help me right now. What was it that Dee Dee said at the end? She asked herself. Jesus and his angels would watch over us? That's what she said. I sure wish I had some sort of light, she said out loud. Her voice echoed in the darkness, but it reminded her of a verse in the Bible they had learned as a memory verse in the shoebox. God's word, the Bible, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. She talked out loud again. If I found Dee Dee's family Bible down here, I would have a light and a sword. She had to giggle a little at the idea of her swinging a Bible at a rat or using it to see in a corner, but she did feel better knowing that God's word said that Jesus and his angels would be with her. And the Bible really is like a light, she said out loud. It can show you where to step to solve the problems in your life. She took a deep breath, then took a small step forward. She felt a cold, solid wall in front of her. It feels like cement, she decided. It must be the basement wall. And if that's the basement wall, then all I have to do is follow it around the wall, and eventually I will either find the steps out here or the lights switch, she said. Jenny felt along the cold wall, both hands hugging the cold concrete. Her left shin bumped against what felt like it might be a step. She stepped up onto it. It's solid, but it feels like it's covered with dirt or a lot of dust, she said out loud as she reached down to feel the surface with her hands. It's not steps. It's a long sloping board like a ramp, and it's too steep to try to walk up. I wonder what that is. As Jenny spoke, her feet slipped out from under her. She slid on her back down the ramp and fell into some more of the dirt or dust. It flew up into her face. She coughed a little and tried to wipe it away. Ugh! Gross, she said as she sat on the floor. Sitting there, she felt around her. There were boards on either side as if she were sitting in a sandbox. Her hand touched a smooth rock surface and then another. Then she realized where she was. It's a coal bin, she said to herself. The place where they stored the coal that was burned in the old coal furnace this house must have had. She felt the edge of the coal bin and climbed out. The next thing she felt was another knock on the shins. Ow! I wish I would stop that. But this time was different. She reached down and felt a flat board by her knees. A little higher, she felt another board and then another. Her heart skipped a beat. Are these the steps out? She asked silently. After a moment, she stepped up onto the first board. With one arm in front of her face and the other one reaching for the next step, Jenny took a step forward and up, then another and another. Suddenly, she felt something dragging against her face. Ugh, more cobwebs, she said, trying to brush them away. Suddenly, she froze. Wait a minute. This isn't a cobweb. It's a string. And I can only think of one good reason for a string to be hanging from the ceiling down here. She tugged on the string, then blinked. Bright, beautiful light filled the basement. One single light bulb dangled from two wires on the ceiling. One bulb and the electricity that powered it changed Jenny's world. She felt like laughing and crying at the same time. Jenny sat on the wooden steps and put her head in her hands. Thank you, Jesus, she whispered. One look at the door at the top of the steps, and she knew that it was locked on the outside. But that's okay, she decided. I'll be happy to wait for Dee Dee now that the light is on. Jenny sat waiting for a long time on those steps and looked around her. The dumbwaiter lay in a broken heap across from her. Between it and her were the coal bin and the coal chute that she had stumbled over. To her left, a workbench stood against the other wall. Someone has been working there, Jenny decided, and not long ago. Curls of new shaved wood were still on the floor around it. Some bright metal had been cut with tin snips, and an odd shape still lay on one corner. Something had been drawn on a piece of paper that lay to one side. A huffing noise made Jenny look up. On the far end of the basement, Jenny saw a firelight behind a glass plate.
That must be the gas furnace, Ginny thought. Behind it, she could see the old coal furnace it had replaced. The basement was pretty big, but something about it was odd. It went back a long way on the right where the two furnaces stood. However, on the left, a wooden wall came down from the ceiling to the floor. She looked at that wall very carefully. Something was wrong with it, but she couldn't tell what it was. Finally, she had to get up and look more closely. That's it, she decided as she bent down to look near the floor. The wall comes down nearly to the floor, but it's not attached there. It's like the wall is just a wooden curtain built to hide something. Ginny looked around the basement again. This wall is hiding one corner of the basement. Why would someone want to hide something down here? She looked at the wooden sheet that covered the end nearest her. Old nails held it in place. I can do something to find out if I can find a hammer, like the one right there on the workbench. She grabbed the big claw hammer and worked the claw in under the edge of the sheet of wood. With a mighty tug, the board came loose. Ginny got her fingers under the edge of the board and pulled it the rest of the way free. When she saw what was behind the wood, Ginny almost forgot to breathe. Then she grinned. Hello, Henry, she said.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 7, The Clue in the Secret Passage, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.